Parshas Tetzaveh, Zion Adar coming this week, elections coming tomorrow, and Parshas Zohar this week. Mr. Shem, next week we'll have a Purim edition, but this might relate to Purim as well. There's a very beautiful idea that I saw, just to start a little bit to relate to the Parsha, because most of it will be not exactly transcendentally related to the Parsha, not so much, but listen to this. So, the first pasuk in our parsha, Ve'ata Tetzaveh El Bnei Yisrael, says the following. The pasuk is talking about taking Shem and Zayit. Ve'ata Tetzaveh Bnei Yisrael, V'chu Elecha, Shem and Zayit Zoh, Katit Lama'or, La'alot Ner Tamid. So we know, this is basically an idea from the Chidah, but please wait a moment, because I'm going to get to a very important point. And he says like this. The Gemara in Shabbos Chav Gimel tells us, Shemisha Rogil B'Ner Shabbos. Misha Rogil B'Ner. So you say Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah, right? You do it nicely. You care about it. Maybe you don't light candles 2 minutes before Shkia. You have a custom to do 18, 20 minutes in Yerushalayim, 40 minutes before. You banim Talmidei Chachamim. What does it mean to be a Talmud Chacham, he says? So a Talmud Chacham is to have the Nitzichos of Moshe Rabbeinu. To have the sparks of Moshe Rabbeinu. Alav Hashalom. That's the ultimate form. And this is that's the Zohar. The Zohar writes that, but don't worry, I'm going to quote a Gemara for a second. And therefore, the Gemara says, Shabbos Kuf Yudalot, Sukkah Lamatet, Beitza Lamatet, Amad Bey says the following thing. Shetamidei Chachamim, Kinoi Shalet Vishay Moshe. Moshe Shapir Kamarat. Are you saying like Moshe? The ultimate level of, right, the ultimate form of flattery is when I compliment someone that they're like their father, or in this case, like Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara, right there on the top, I believe, in Sukkah, on the top of the daf, that's exactly what it says. Sukkah Lamatet. Are you going to say that you're like Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Shaper Kamras El Hassam? The Hachik Uskin? Who is great in this generation as Moshe's? Do you speak well? Are you like him? Do you think you're like Moshe Rabbeinu and all the great attributes that he has? That's the ultimate form. This week is my, hopefully I don't get in trouble for this, but it's my mother's very special birthday. So I hope that the ultimate form is that she sees her children, she just got a compliment from someone, not just about me, that I'm on YU Torah, wowee, big deal, but I know, it's because of my parents. Where do you think this comes from? It comes from my parents. But they were complimenting my sister, actually. Says, wow, how do you have two children? Okay, I'm the funniest one. There's no question about that. but she's also a great speaker. She's very personal and bubbly. I don't know if I'm bubbly and personal, but okay. I didn't try to fake it and see it. Where does it come from? It comes from my mom. My Torah knowledge, a little bit of my Torah knowledge comes from my dad. My dad has much more Torah knowledge than I have. But that's the ultimate form, to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, that's the ultimate compliment, says the Gemara. To say we're from there. And says the Chidah, and that's the remez in this pasuk in this week's parasha. V'ah, titzaveh, we're telling you, hey, you, we learned that this isn't just the parashas of the Mishkan. Why do we spend four parashas, really five parashas about the Mishkan? The creation of the world, 30 psukim. And you have hundreds of psukim on this. Why? The answer is, the Chaya Yom Yom, this is not just about a Mishkan. This is about the Mishkan B'toicho. This is what last week we spoke about. The Mishkan is inside of all of us. It should be inside of us. The Levavi Mishkan Evna. It's not just a nice song that we sing. We're bringing the Mishkan home. That's what we really are supposed to believe. We're supposed to believe that the Asuli Mitzvahs with Shechanti, what does it say? Not B'socho, B'socham. It's inside of you. How do you bring the Mishkan experience to your life? The Noyim Elimelech on last week's parsha, that's exactly what he says. You saw the Mishkan, he said, I want to be like that. Unfortunately, we don't have that opportunity, and it's harder for us. But imagine going up and seeing the Kohanim and saying, oh my God, I want to be like this. This is amazing. I'm so inspired. That's why we would go for those inspirations. Not hopefully just 3 pounds a year. You go bring up Bikurim, bring up Maaseris. So says the Chidah, the Ata Tetzaveh B'nei Yisrael, what a mitzvah them? Lichuei Lecha. Be careful with Shem and Zayit Zoh. We know that there is a godless, when we light Hanukkah candles, it should be from Shem and Zayit. We should be careful. People on Shabbos do the same thing.
That's the Aaron Aaron, because I want to emulate Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, it is almost probable that every year, Zayin Adar comes out on Moshe Rabbeinu's Yurtzeit. And we know that Tetzaveh is the most interesting parsha of them all. Because from Parsha Shemois until this, there's Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned once in all of Parsha's Tetzaveh. So the Mephorshim have to ask, how can that be? How is it possible that his name isn't mentioned? Because in next week's Parsha, it says, when they do the Chet Ego, so it says in Perek Lamed Bet, Pasuk Lamed Bet,
if you don't forgive them, says Moshe Rabbeinu,
erase my name from this sefer. Asher katata. Erase my name. I don't want to be in the sefer. So the Rabbanu Shalom listens to his request, but his shtickle still said it. So the Mephorshim say we have to some way still remember that he wanted to be taken out of the sefer. He wanted to, you know, quote unquote, die for us, if you will. He was willing to sacrifice his name in the Torah for us. So we remember that by not putting him in Parshas Tetzaveh. Says Rav Avadi Yosef, as well, I saw this from Rav Eliyahu Amar, who has generally a thing I quote a lot. He speaks a lot about the Zeres Shimshon, which I love. But he says the following thing. Ravadia says there's actually a hint of this. Ready for this? Because what does it say? Take my name out of Misifarecha. Misefer Ka. What's the 20th Sefer in the Torah if you start counting from Bereishis? Noach, Lech, right? The 20th Sefer is Tetzaveh. Take me out of the 20th Sefer. So we're Mekayim this a little bit by his name not being entirely in this entire thing. Misefer Ka. But says Rabbi Fran, it's much more than that. And this is beautiful. What is our Parsha Oisek in the most? Of course, Big Day Kahuna. Who is the Kohen Gadol? His brother Aaron. Wait a minute. How'd that happen? Why isn't Moshe Rabbeinu the Kohen Gadol? The truth is, our sages tell us, Moshe should have been the Kohen Gadol. But just like when Aaron HaKohen saw his brother Moshe becoming the leader of the Jewish people, when Aaron himself was the leader before Moshe, and he says, ah, I'm so excited. And if I knew they were going to write in the Torah, I would have danced in front of him, welcoming him. Yomi Mayim Melech Toysif. Rav Asher Weiss spoke yesterday. It was very beautiful. When he walked in, one person just said, Yomi. And everybody started singing, Yomi Mayim Melech. It's a Gadol Ador. Comes along Moshe the same way, and he says, no, Hashem. He's my brother. He had my back this whole time during the Esamakos, and I was not able to talk appropriately, and he spoke to part. New Hashem, do it for him. But you know how it is? That's why my friend, this is such a great vort, because it's so true. When somebody gives over something to somebody else, what do they have to do? They got to stand behind the person and say, by the way, you know, I could have been going Gadol. You see the Big Day Kahuna? You see the Choshen? You see that sits? You see all the things that he's wearing? I could have worn that. I just don't want to because, you know, I gave it to my brother because he's older. I felt bad, you know? Like, I didn't do anything. Rav Chaim Shmuel Lovitz tells a great story. This is so good. He says, there are many jobs where this happens in life. Where a person says, you know, I could be CEO of the company. I chose not to be the CEO of the company, right? I could have been the executive director of Leva Torah. But I didn't want to pick out, you know, Frank Neiman's. I took the position as director of institutional advancement and finance. Right? We always like to say that. I could have been. By the way, you know, I could be in Knesset now. I was asked to be, you know, like I have two friends who tell me this all the time. I could have been in Knesset. They called me to be in Knesset. What do I need the job for? But that couldn't be me. What do I want to do that? So Chaim Shmuel tells a story about the garbage man. He says there are two types of garbage men. There's the guy in the front of the truck and the guy in the back of the truck. You ever see this? Here in Eretz Yisrael, it's usually pretty obvious. I'm sorry if you think I'm being racist. Usually in the front of the truck, if he's here in Beit Shemesh, there's actually a driver. He has a long white beard and a big kippah, big black kippah. He's in the front with the air conditioning going the whole time. You know the truck's always running. And he's got two guys in the back, usually Arabs, who are getting the garbage. So Chaim Shmuel Lovitz says he's walking in Yerushalayim. And it happens to be, it's two Israelis.
Israeli guy's in the back, a Jewish guy in the back. In the front, there's some guy. And he's picking up Mamash Rav Chaim Shmuelitz's garbage. And he knows who Rav Chaim Shmuel is. And he says to Rav Chaim, you know, I could be sitting in front in the truck and it's air conditioned. But I don't want to because I'm not a covered guy. Right? I imagine that kid in school. What does your dad do for a living? He's a garbage man. No. He's not. He's in the front of the truck. You understand? He's still going to get beat up, that guy. Right? You know? That's the way people are. Their nature is to always say, no. What do you think? I couldn't do that too? I just didn't want to. My wife ran a half marathon in Tel Aviv with 3 days' notice. She just decided 3 days ago, I'm going to run the half marathon. Right? Right? So I'm not that. Yeah, I could run a marathon too. I just choose not to. I couldn't drive the marathon. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. But that's the Indian over here. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I don't want to be in this whole parasha, Hashem, because that's who I am. That's who I am. And Moshe Rabbeinu was that person. That's a true anuf. I don't want to be part of this at all. And that's why we want to emulate the ways. And that's why the Gemara in Megillah says, well, wait a minute. What is Zayin Adar? It's very, very sad. I don't know the elections. Probably don't even know this. The elections are tomorrow. I know you know the elections are tomorrow. You don't know this because you don't get a day off like everybody else. And it's supposed to be Tuesday. Elections are always Tuesday, like in America. La Havdil is in America too. So comes along the Haredim. This is true. We were talking about this before, but now you'll laugh at this now that I tell you this. Gimel came along and they said you can't make it on Zayin Adar. Moshe Rabbeinu is Yortzai. No. Apparently, there's some other Hasidic Rebbe's Yortzai. I looked on the list of Yortzites. I wasn't sure who they were talking about. There's two Rebbeim. One was, what do you call it? The Kalver, one of the Kalver Rebbe's. I wasn't sure if it was that because it said it wasn't the Rebbe, but the Rebbe's. I don't understand. Anyway, and there's another Rebbe. I don't know. And they said those Hasidim won't be able to vote because the whole day they're spending, you know. Okay. So it's like, ooh. It's got to, maybe it's wrong what I read. Maybe it's because of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, he gets no press. I'm sorry to say this. What press does Moshe Rabbeinu get on Zayin Adar? The machlekes, you say Tachanun on that. In Eretz Yisrael, everybody says Tachanun. But in America, it's a big deal because the Ezra's Toyaluch, you know, it's a machlekes. And the Chevra Kedisha, it's a day that they fast, right? That's their day, the Chevra Kedisha. That's they accept upon themselves to do tshuva on that day in case they didn't treat the bodies appropriately. Why is there not more press? Rav Nachman Breslov. The yurt side, and then the yurt side of this one and that one. Everybody's running to all these different places around the world. Okay, we don't know where Moshe is buried, but still, how come it's not a huge day? And the Gemara tells us in Megillah and Daf Yudalid, I'm sorry, Yugimel Amud Bey, is the following. Well, what happened? Hippil Pur, that famous Pur that's going to go on Adar. And it could be that he did the Pur more than once. And then when it finally hit Adar, the Goral, Shenafal Pur B'chodesh Adar, Sameach, who was Sameach Haman, Simcha Gedoyla, Amar Nafali Pur, B'yareach Shemeit Bo Moshe Rabbeinu. On the month that Moshe died, says Haman, it's awesome, because the Goel came in Chodesh Nisan, when the Jews got out of Mitzrayim, that was Moshe's heightened month, and it ended off with him dying the last month of the year. It's a terrible time. The lo haya yada, but he wasn't as smart as he thought he was. And he says, lo yadua she b'sha b'adar meis, b'sha she'adar nolad. He didn't know that. Ah, if he only knew that. But why is that so good? So Rashi writes, says Rav Amar, Rashi writes, godol haleda, fortunate, or more important is the leda, Shemechaper al hamisa, that the leida is ki'ilu mechaper on the misa. What does that mean exactly? What is that idea? Normally, it's not. That's not true. My birth doesn't mechaper. What does that mean? So maybe we could say like this. Maybe we can say that Moshe was different. Moshe was different than any individual in the world because of what Moshe represented. You see, Moshe had a neshama. And there was a tzimtzum of that neshama inside of Moshe Rabbeinu, obviously. When Moshe died on Zayin Adar, you know what happened? His neshama didn't leave. We're told that pieces of a neshama went to every individual Jew, and they emulated Moshe Rabbeinu. Mestama, all the babies that were born right after that, they're all little Moshe-less running around. Little Moshe-less.
Moshe Rabbeinu was emulated through his Nisa. He was like reborn again. Because that Simpson went inside of each of us. We got a little bit of his Torah. His Hasagas came to that. Because his godless, it was mashpia on him. And actually, besides for Rashi, this is also an idea that the Yoris Tvash brings. And actually in Chodesh Adar. And he says the following. That's why he says, Shebechodesh Adar, who nolad Moshe Rabbeinu? Kedai haleda shetechaper al hamoves. Yom haledas mechaper. Why? Because of what was given over after. Moshe emes v'torah se'emes. Yom leidoso shel Moshe Rabbeinu? Matbeya ein sofit shel nishmato. He takes, I think, based on the Rashi, because when Moshe died, we took the pigima of him leaving us and put it inside of all of us because we wanted to emulate Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, Haman didn't get that. Moshe, he was different. Generally, when somebody dies, Haman was right. When somebody dies, it's a very sad day because that's it, they're done. But the ultimate is what their children are doing, what their And Baruch Hashem, when it's in B'chaim and you're able to see the children, they're following the ways, that's the ultimate thing. That's why he's not mentioned here. We're supposed to emulate Parshas Tetzaveh and say, yeah, I want for another person more than me. You know, last week, the whole week, I was discussing Ribbis, the laws of interest. And they're very hard and difficult laws. But mostly they're hard, you know why? Because I get people that actually ask me, Jews, who say to me, Chaya Chicha Imach, well, I don't understand why you're allowed to take Ribbis, and from Goyim you're allowed to? So I gave him the famous vort that I heard from, I asked Rav Machlis to explain to me. Because you always have that one guy in Shir who's like, this is so stupid, this is so stupid. Why can't you take interest? Come on, what about a little bit of interest? And he gave me the example. Your son comes to you and he's hard on luck and he says, Dad, I'm so sorry I have to do this to you, but we just got, I need a bit of a loan. Can you give me some money? And I lend him $10,000. And I say to my son, don't worry, son, you have a year to pay me back. I'm only going to charge you 3%. What kind of father are you? You did that to your father who gave you everything in your life? He said, don't worry, Dad, the banks are giving 8%. I give it to you at 3. That's the way we're supposed to be with every single Jew. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu taught us. He has to be caring. Imo, Anochi, Batzar, I'm with you as the Rabbeinu Shem says. We're supposed to emulate the ways of Hashem. We're supposed to be close to that and want to do that. That's actually what the Mishkan was all about. Bringing, as we said last week, Shamayim Va'aretz. And I have to say, I think that that's exactly what Purim is about. Purim is about dafka during the Sarah to see the godless. If you think about it, it's a little bit strange. We're singing Misha Nichnas Adar Mabrim B'Simcha, and I actually notice, at least in my kids' school, the happiest days of Adar are until Purim. They're like, they're not, there's a takanon, there's a halacha, Mimosha, Mesinai. They're not allowed to have tests now. Every day they have something fun going on. They're dressing up this day, they're doing this day. It's the greatest time. They come home, they come back after Shushan Purim, it's all sad. Why? I never understood that. That's when it's happy, because that's when we won. So the answer is that no. It's mitor chatzara. One of my chaverim showed me from Rav Bitterman, actually, but it was in the Hebrew. I didn't realize the Hebrew and the English are different. They're not the same. Last week in the Hebrew, this is exactly what Rav Bitterman wrote, that Rav Salvechik says, the Beis HaLevi. Beis HaLevi says, why do we say Hallel, Hagadol? What a strange thing, the night of Pesach, we have the Geula of Pesach. You know why we say it, he says? Because we're thanking Hashem not for saving us, for putting us in the Sarah, because it shows you love me the most. When Hashem challenges us, that says Hashem loves. That's why Hashem's telling us love. Oh, you're challenging me? I got it, Hashem. I got this. That was what Moshe Rabbeinu was about. Getting out of the Tzara. He says, Hashem, forgive those Jews, people. It was just a one-time thing. And of course, Moshe Rabbeinu keeps doing this. He keeps having to say to Hashem, come on, give him another chance. Give him another chance. Because he cared like his own children for everyone. That's what Purim reminds us of. The reason why this month is so happy is because he dafkei put us in the Tzara. That's why it's happy. And maybe that's why Kiminog Ava Yisrael Rappaport, my kid's school, maybe that minhag is right. And then once Purim comes, that's obvious that the simcha is after that. That's obvious. But we got to work on our simcha now because we're supposed to feel the scare. We're scared. We're going to fast next week. We're going to fast in a week from now. And that was the whole concept as we have this week's in the Amalek. Amalek wanted to take away that from us. They wanted to get us dafka when we were feeling good and put us in tzaron and challenge us. But we won the challenge. And as tomorrow is the election day, once again, there's a Israeli slang term, Pam Shlishli Glida. And in Yerushalayim, they're giving out free ice cream. It's true, tomorrow. If you spend 20 shekel in any store, you should bring the receipt to various places. Pam Shlishli Glida. What's going on? Why is it? It's a challenge. There are so many poskim, including the Chazon Ish, who says it's a mitzvah to vote. Famous Rav Shechter said this great line. It's in the name of the Belzer Rebbe. The Satmar Rebbe came out at Toikif. He used to come right before the election. Now, it's been three times in the last year. He can't come all the time. He would come to Eretz Yisrael and give out $100 bills if you don't vote in the election. And he said, it's also to vote in the election. The Belzer Rebbe, the Ger Rebbe, they all come out. You have to vote. It's a mitzvah to vote. So they went. I think it was the Belzer Rebbe. And they said to him, how can you tell it's a mitzvah to vote? It's a mitzvah, says one of his Hasidim. It's a mitzvah like eating matzah on Pesach. He says, no, it's a mitzvah like eating maror on Pesach. It's bitter. It's not so fun. It's not so good. We're not so happy because we don't know what's going to change. But you have a mitzvah to do it. Because we follow the ways of Moshe Rabbeinu. We said we don't understand everything. But Moshe Emes, Torah Emes, we have a symptom of Moshe Rabbeinu inside of us. We look at a day of Zayin Adar and we say, no, this is also a happy day. And that's why there's a machlokes. Are we happy or not? It's a day to say to us, wow, we're descendants of Moshe Rabbeinu. How do I take myself out of the whole parsha and say, no, I wanted to have the glory. I'm not even going to be there. So people won't look at me and be like, oh, you know, Hartz, you should have gotten that position. That's the ultimate form. We should be zeichet to take these ideas of Moshe Rabbeinu because Moshe emes v'taresa emes and recognize the sitkus and understand that the vestments of the Beis HaMikdash that we'll be learning about of what the Kohen Gadol is comes to our level as well. We should be zeichet to get that back and see the Kohen Gadol be'avadosam. And meet Moshe Rabbeinu and the Nevi'im again. Amen.